So we are coming full circle today. I just love talking to my Yodas here. We started this series by exploring the perennial philosophy and the basic fundamental principle of the perennial philosophy, according to Dr. Roger Walsh, is that we are more than we think. Right? And if you notice, that theme has woven among every episode of this series, that we are more than we think, that all parts of us are okay and necessary, that we are exactly as God created us to be, and that there is something greater in us than just the skin that we look at. So before we get to the wisdom of Yoda, which will conclude our Wisdom of Sci-Fi series, I want to just take a minute to look at just wisdom. You know, I know you all are familiar with the 12 powers, the 12 powers of man, as discerned by Charles Fillmore. I love the 12 powers. One of the 12 powers, as he discerned it, was wisdom. And Charles said that wisdom includes judgment, discrimination, intuition, and all the departments of mind. Don't you love how he talked? All the departments of mind that come under the head of knowing. That's wisdom. The dictionary defines wisdom as knowledge and good judgment based on experience. So notice, wisdom is more than just knowledge. It's knowledge and good judgment based on experience. So to be wise implies that we have knowledge and an understanding of people and of situations and of what is true and what is right and of good conduct. Having wisdom means that we are showing both a knowledge base and the good judgment necessary to use that knowledge base. Someone said to me, it's the difference between knowing that a tomato is actually a fruit, but not putting it in a fruit salad, right? Knowing it's a fruit is knowledge. Not putting it in with the strawberries, blueberries, and cantaloupe is wisdom, right? So wisdom, and this is where I'm going to use the word in the definition, is about making wise choices. Back to the 12 powers. I love how each power is paired with another. It was a recognition by the Fillmores that we needed to have a balance in these powers. And I thought it was brilliant of Charles to pair wisdom with love. And in fact, each power is associated with one of the disciples. Wisdom's disciple is James, and he's actually paired with his brother John, who is the disciple that represents love. And what the Fillmore said was that the combination of wisdom and love is that classic combining of head and heart. It's connecting the two. You know, it was interesting, 25 years ago, I was having trouble with my neck. I couldn't figure out what was going on, and finally went to a very wise chiropractor who sadly is no longer practicing. But he worked on me and he cracked me, right? You know, and I felt a little bit better. But he asked me a really interesting question. He said, "Where are you not connecting your head and your heart?" I was just starting to get into understanding that there's actually a connection there, right? Between mind, body, and spirit, right? This was almost 30 years ago, people, right? And he asked me that question. You're not connecting your head and your heart. You're shutting down that flow between the two. The Fillmores believe that wisdom and love had to connect in order for both to be demonstrated. Wisdom without love can just become intellectual and academic, right? Back to the tomato is a fruit. But love without wisdom can become enabling and codependent. We need them both in order to make wise choices. I once heard James Trapp. He was the former president and CEO of Unity Worldwide. And at one of the conferences, I heard him say, there is information that informs, and then there is information that transforms. Wisdom contains information that transforms. So together, wisdom and love help us move outside of ourselves, move outside of what we might call our current BS, our current belief system, right? It's that opening our eyes, connecting the head and the heart, and help us to see beyond appearances. And that's what brings us to Yoda. Now, Yoda first shows up in The Empire Strikes Back, as we've established, our very favorite of the Star Wars movies, all right? And one of the reasons it's my very favorite is because of Yoda. It's this word, this is the in the episode in the trilogy where Luke begins his training. If you remember from the movie, I'm not going to ask if you haven't seen it. In the movie, this is the second installment where it opens on the ice planet and Luke gets accosted by some kind of a monster and saved by Han, and he's laying out on the ice planet Hoth and he's dying, and Obi-Wan comes to him in a vision and says, Luke, go to Dagobah, study with Yoda. Go to Dagobah. You'd think Obi-Wan would have been saying, Han, Luke's over here, save him, right? Which I'm sure what Luke was thinking. So Luke remembered this in this vision after Han saved him. And he gets in his X-Wing and he goes and actually crash lands on Dagobah, the swamp planet. And that's where he first meets Yoda. And it's interesting because as I was sharing with the children earlier, when he first met Yoda, he was pretty rude to him because he thought he was just this little gnome that lived in this little hut with all sorts of slimy things crawling around it, like Dagobah would not be a vacation destination, okay? And he pretty much gets to the point where he's demanding to see Yoda. And then there's a wonderful scene where Yoda is talking to Obi-Wan, right? And Obi-Wan's responding, the spirit of Obi-Wan. And all of a sudden, the light dawns and Luke realizes, oh my gosh, right, Gwen? It's an amazing scene. You can see this look on his face like, oh boy, this is Yoda. This little gnome that I've been really nasty to for the last hour is actually the Jedi Master that I was sent to train with. And so a huge part of this movie focuses on the training of Luke's training by the Master Yoda. And then, of course, interspersed throughout the training, we see Han and Leia and Wookiee getting into trouble in the Cloud City and Luke rushing off to save them. And then, of course, it's at the end of The Empire Strikes Back where we have that huge moment in the trilogy where everyone in the theater gasped in horror and amazement, where Luke and Darth Vader are fighting. Remember that one? And they're on that little catwalk, and Darth Vader is trying to get Luke to join him on the dark side, you know, and Luke had already faced his greatest fear on Dagobah in the cave, and he says, you know, Darth Vader says to Luke, Obi-Wan never told you who your father was, and Luke said, he told me you killed my father, and Darth Vader looks at him and says, no, Luke, I am your father, right? At which point we have that famous Luke scream, which I will not do into the microphone. And rather than go to the dark side, rather than acknowledge his parentage, rather than join Darth Vader, Luke leaps off the catwalk, choosing death over joining the dark side, but instead is saved, is whooshed out an air shaft and dramatically saved by Princess Leia and Chewbacca and Lando. So that's the end of The Empire Strikes Back, which sets us up then for the Return of the Jedi. But most of the lessons from this movie come from the relationship between Luke and Yoda. And the lessons are so incredibly rich. The first and most obvious that I've already touched on is wisdom doesn't always look like we think it will. There are lessons and wisdom all around us if we're simply willing to pay attention. Right? An illness can be a teacher. A relationship can be a teacher. Spilling paint on the carpet can be a teacher. There is wisdom all around us. We have to get out of our preconceived ideas of what wisdom looks like. So often we want wisdom to be all tied up with a pretty bow, and we want it to tell us what we want to hear. But some of the most powerful wisdom is that shakes our beliefs, that invites us to see outside the box and to see that a little green gnome can be the greatest Jedi master that ever lived. The other lesson we see from Yoda and Luke's training is that Yoda trains all of Luke, body, mind, and spirit. He trains Luke in meditation. He teaches Luke the ways of the Force, and he works his body. I love the scenes where little Yoda's holding on to Luke, and Luke is leaping from branch to branch. Mark Hamill was probably never in better shape than when he was filming The Empire Strikes Back, right? Yoda understood that connection of body, mind, and spirit, and he worked all three aspects of those with Luke. Yoda also teaches Luke that the cave he fears to enter holds the treasure that he seeks. And we touched on this last week when we talked about the Tao of Star Trek, when we explored our shadow side, our dark side, those parts of us that we would really rather not look at. There was that incredibly powerful cave scene where Luke goes in and cuts off the head of Darth Vader, and when the helmet opens, he sees his own face. Because Luke's greatest fear is his own dark side. And Yoda teaches him, face your fears. Don't let your fear stop you. And I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt that said, do one thing every day that you're afraid of. Work your fear muscles and do one thing every day. Yoda also taught Luke that he needed to unlearn what he had learned. Such a powerful teaching. He was actually encouraging Luke to cultivate what we call, what the Buddhists call, beginner's mind. That mind that says, I don't know. I'm willing to not know, to go through life being that uncarved block. It's another Buddhist metaphor. That uncarved block that says, you know what? I am open to letting go of my preconceptions. I am open to letting go of how I've always done things and what I've always known. Luke had so many ideas and was sure of so many things. And one of Yoda's greatest lessons to Luke was to let that all go. Or as Charles just said, to let it be. Yoda admonished Luke because at one point when Luke was just figuring out who Yoda was, he said, well, what do you think the Jedi Master will look like? And Luke said, oh, he'll be a great warrior. The Jedi Master who will train me will be a great warrior, and they will have fought great battles in great wars. And Yoda laughed and said, wars not make one great. The true power of the Jedi was in the ability to not fight. Yoda used his own appearance with Luke to teach him some valuable lessons. Several times Yoda admonishes Luke to not judge him by his size, that bigger is not always better, and might doesn't always make right. He used his own diminutive size to teach Luke that. So I want to show you, Dan's going to help us out. I want to show you my favorite scene from the whole movie. And this one little 2.5 minute scene encapsulates so much of Yoda's wisdom. We tested this earlier and it worked, so...
With you, what cannot be done. Hear you nothing that I say?
Master, moving stones around is one thing. This is totally different.
No, no different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No, try not. Do. Or do not. There is no try. So we, not this crude matter. You must feel the force around you. Here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere. Yes, even between the land and the ship.
You want the impossible.
Thank you.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail.
So what did you think about that scene? Pretty powerful, huh? I love it that in that 2.5 minutes, he gets in, unlearn what you have learned. There is no try. There is only do. Luminous beings are we. And you fail because you don't believe. What Yoda was really addressing in that scene was he was demonstrating for Luke what we call the holographic universe. Luke believed that the small stone and the X-Wing were two different things. But Yoda recognized that they're the same thing. It's all in how we perceive it. In the holographic universe, there is no gradient of size. A penny means the same thing as $1 million. In the holographic universe, what we understand, that's another way of saying this, is that how we do one thing is how we do everything. Right? When I teach the Energy of Money class here in January, we talk a lot about the holographic universe and energy. And in that particular case, we look at how we are with money is how we are with everything. Right? And that's what Yoda was teaching Luke, using the stones and the X-Wing as the example. There was no difference to Yoda between moving a stone and moving an X-Wing, because he understood that it was all energy. And I love his description of the Force. It's that energy that flows through us and around us, demonstrates as us. I love it when he refers to the Force as a powerful ally, right? All of this was new to Luke, right? One of Yoda's biggest challenges with Luke was Luke's impulsivity. Luke was always looking to the next thing. Let's get to the next thing, right? In his training, I want to do the next thing. When will I learn this? And when will I learn that? And when will I be a Jedi? And one of Yoda's biggest challenges was saying, slow down. He said to him, a Jedi must have the deepest commitment and the most serious mind. And he said to Luke, the quick and easy path is the path to the dark side. And I think of how true this is for us, how we want to impulsively just get to that next thing, especially if the current thing is a little uncomfortable, right? I don't like it here. I just want to move on to the next thing. But what Yoda was teaching Luke is no, where you are right now holds your lessons. This moment holds your lessons. When you've got them, then we'll move on. Luke wanted to go from A to Z instead of A, B, C, D, E. And Yoda was teaching him the importance of embracing the journey and learning as we go every step of the way. Whenever I see that, it reminds me of a distinction that we make in the coaching model between our monkey mind, right? You know, that chatter in our brain that's always swinging around, lurching around in there, and our inner voice of wisdom. What Yoda was really describing to Luke was learning how to differentiate between those two voices, right? Our monkey mind has that energy of urgency. There's sometimes almost a panic about it, that we have to do this right now. There's no sense of possibility with monkey. Monkey's always looking for the absolute worst possible case scenario, right? When our monkey is swinging, there's a tension in our body, right? Sometimes you can kind of feel it. I feel it in my chest sometimes when my monkey's really swinging before I give it a banana and tell it to take a break, right? So what Yoda was trying to teach Luke was the difference between that voice and that energy, and the voice and the energy of the force, of what we would call in unity our inner voice of wisdom, that still small voice. And the energy is very different. Sometimes the words can be the same because, gosh, is our monkey mind clever, right? Our monkey mind sounds like us because it's a function of our brain. But what we need to do is to learn to discern the energy difference between the two. When it's our inner voice of wisdom, there is no sense of urgency. There is no sense of panic. There's a sense of openness. There's a sense of possibility. There's a generosity of spirit. You feel calm and you feel at peace. And that's what Yoda was teaching Luke. He said, you will know the good from the bad side of the force when you are calm and at peace. And he was trying to teach him what we now know to be true physiologically, that when we're that activated, we can't think clearly. And he was trying to teach Luke to calm down, to become quiet, so that he could hear that still small voice of the Force. He also taught Luke that he had a choice, just as his father had a choice, to choose the dark side of the Force or the light side of the Force. There's so many allusions to this in common literature. Remember the wonderful scene in Harry Potter where he's having the vision of Dumbledore in the train station, right? And Dumbledore is telling him, you have a choice. We always have that choice. And that always reminds me of the story of the Cherokee grandfather. Are you familiar with that one? Where the Cherokee was teaching his grandchildren about life, and he said to them, a fight is always going on inside of me. It is a terrible fight between two wolves. One wolf represents my fear, my anger, my envy, my sorrow, my regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, all of those parts of myself that I really don't like. The other wolf stands for my joy, my peace, my love, my serenity, my humility, my kindness, my generosity, my truth, and my compassion. He said to his grandchildren, the fight is always going on inside of me between those two wolves. And he said, and the same fight goes on inside of you. And the children thought about it for a moment, and then one child raised his hand and said, Grandfather, which wolf will win? And the grandfather looked at the child and said, the one that you feed. So Yoda was teaching Luke to be very careful which side of the Force he was feeding, which wolf he was feeding. Choose this day who you will serve, from the Christian Gospels. Which wolf are we feeding? We know that heaven and hell, we don't believe in unity, that heaven and hell are real, actual, physical places. They are mindsets that we create, but boy, do they feel real once we create them. Yoda was teaching Luke, you have the choice. How are you going to use the Force? How are you going to use your power? How are you going to use your wisdom? How are you going to let that Force flow through you? What is going to demonstrate as it comes out of you? Matthew Fox said, when we are joyous and full of heart, we are emanating wisdom. Wisdom is not in the head, but in the heart and gut, where compassion is felt. Now, if we move the words around a little bit, it almost does sound like something Yoda would say. So I want to share with you again what what Yoda said in that scene, his description of the Force. In fact, close your eyes, because we're going to take that description of the Force right into meditation. Yoda said, size matters not. Look at me, and do not judge me by my size, for my ally is the Force, And a powerful ally it is. Life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. You must feel the force around you, here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere. Yes, even between the land and the ship. For my ally is the force. So I invite you now to take a big, deep breath and repeat that phrase in your mind silently to yourself. My ally is the force. Allow that thought, allow that truth to fill your very cells. For you are luminous beings. You are so much more than you think. You have within you the potential to do amazing things. If you only believe. Jesus said, you will do greater things than I have done. Yoda expected all of his students to surpass him. When we understand that the God force is in our DNA. That energy is truly our ally and wants nothing more than to help us do great things. It's simply waiting. Quietly, for us to listen, for us to open our hearts and minds, and allow that energy to flow through us and demonstrate as us in the world. Just as Yoda taught Luke that his face was the face of a great Jedi, we too can look beyond appearances to see the force, to see the potential, to see the greatness in everyone we meet. We too can see every face as the face of God. invite you to take a deep breath, and you can keep your eyes closed if you'd like, while we listen to and sing to the face of God.
Of God, I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God. You are the face of God.
So look at the person beside you.
I hold you in my heart.
Both sides of you and in front of you.
You are a part of me.
And behind you. And see the face of
you
God.
You are the face of God. You are the face of God. I hold you in my heart. You are a part of me. You are the face of God.
That's what Yoda was teaching Luke. That the Force flows through all of us. We all have access to it. And we are all physical manifestations of that God Force energy. So what do you think the world would look like if we saw everyone as the face of God? Do you think we'd have war? Do you think we'd have greed or lack? That's the wisdom of Yoda.